There's Scott. Okay. You can see my screen, I assume.
Yes, I can.
Good. Let's see. All right. So what we're seeing is immune function and thyroid function. Not surprised about the immune, given what's been going on. A little bit on the blood sugar. I know you've been working on that. GI function, and then the others are a lot lower. So we'll go see what else is going. Acid-base balance. So none of these are all less than 50%. Doesn't mean that they're not concerned, but we're going to be looking at it. And then the B12, zinc, and thiamine. Zinc is super important for prostate health. So
yeah.
That's one that, you know, we need to work on for you. All right. And then a little bit on the selenium.
Possible. So one thing I thought was really odd about this, there were no lipid panels done.
What?
There's no lipid panels on here.
Well, who ran the test? Did you run it through? Well,
Direct Labs.
And what did you order? Because the CWP has a...
Well, I did a complete metabolic panel.
But didn't you say it just didn't get uploaded about...
Well, I don't know.
Is Patty still on? Can you do a double check? Because if you ordered a complete metabolic panel, that's different than a comprehensive wellness panel.
Okay.
And the CMP won't have the lipids, but the CMP...
Well, that must have been what we did.
So maybe you ordered, yeah.
Okay.
But he has it from his other doctor.
But I've done annual lipid testing, so I've got, you know, some history there. So
okay. And how's that been? Have there been issues with that?
Typically, the cholesterol's been high the last probably 4 or 5 years. The latest one was 213. And so it's typically too high in LDL cholesterol, 142, triglycerides, 48, HDL cholesterol, 61. So it's, you know, borderline on the high side.
So what I would recommend is that if you have those tests from previous times, that Jill can help you do this, is put it in your...
I'll do that.
Yeah, your spreadsheet. Your...
Sure.
Yeah, and then we can look at that on another call.
Okay, sure.
Okay?
Okay. All right.
Awesome. So your glucose is a little high. In your home testing, is it running a little high there?
It does. It's usually the waking is anywhere from 90 to 110.
Okay.
So it's running high.
Yeah. And the average is 111 based on your A1C at 5.5. So definitely continue to work on that. The sweet spot, the blood sugar, looking at what... Have you ever done a 30-day metabolic reset?
I have not.
Yeah. I think that that's warranted. I think it's really important, just because it's super important for your immune system.
Yeah.
That blood sugar balance. So I would recommend that you do a 30-day metabolic reset.
Okay.
And Jill knows how to guide you through it.
All right. Terrific.
All right. Yeah, your insulin is low. So here's the thing. We want to make sure that we're dealing with insulin resistance versus insulin insufficiency, right?
Right.
And sometimes this can be related. I would, there's two possibilities. Yeah,
this was a fasting insulin. So, yeah. I mean, it had been probably, I took the test at 2 in the afternoon. I hadn't eaten since the night before. So it had probably been 14 hours of fasting. It
could be the intermittent fasting effects on insulin. But to be sure, I would do it again.
Okay.
And I would do it fasting. And then I would do it at 45 minutes after eating. And what I would recommend you do is pick whatever your highest carbohydrate meal is. You know, for some people, it might be spaghetti and meatballs. For somebody, it might be M&Ms. For somebody, you know, it might just be some quinoa and lentils, right? Whatever the highest carbohydrate meal you would normally eat. I don't want to challenge you with something that's dumb and like a glucose challenge test where you're drinking sugar water, because it's not something that you would normally eat. But whatever your typical highest carbohydrate meal, you do that. And 45 minutes later, you take the insulin again. So the way you do that is you go and you order insulin, you order another insulin. So you have two requisitions for insulin. You can't have it on the same requisition. You go into the lab, you give it to them. They take your test. You go out to the car. You have your highest carbohydrate meal. 45 minutes later, you go back in with the sheet again and you have it tested again.
Okay.
They might look at you like you're crazy. If it's a busy lab, they won't even recognize you. They won't know. But if it's not such a busy place, they'll go, huh, are you back again? Say, hey, you were me. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah, this is what my doctor ordered, Chris. You have to have doctor's orders to get it. When you order through Direct Lab, there's some doctor somewhere in your state, usually, that is the ordering physician, and that's how those labs do it. So you just say, this is what my doctor ordered. So you're back in there and you do it. And that way we can see, if you're 1.2 and you eat a high carbohydrate meal and you're still at 1.2, then there's a problem, right? It means your pancreas isn't doing. If it goes from the 1.2 up to a 10 or a 12, then we go, okay, pancreas is fine and knows how to do its job. That's what we want to make sure. Because sometimes folks will end up, we think they have an insulin resistance situation, but they have LADA, which is latent autoimmune diabetes of adulthood, right? That there is an autoimmune condition. So our first step is the cheapest way to do it is you pay for two $35 insulin tests. If that shows up, that doesn't go up, then I want to find out why. Is your pancreas just worn out from, you know, years of eating too many carbs? Or is there some antibody activity? Okay. And those are the more expensive tests. So I usually save those for later, you know.
Okay.
But it's important to know that. Okay.
All right.
BUN's on the top end of normal. Creatinine, I don't think it's a concern, but is a little high. Your glomerular filtration rate is on the low side of normal. I would say this is a let's watch this. Okay, I don't see a problem, but if this shifts in the wrong direction, I want you to know sooner rather than later, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So just this is a watch and see.
Okay.
Electrolytes, they're all fairly normal. Your anion gap is a little high. That's the sodium potassium or sodium potassium and chloride. Protein is a little on the high, albumin, globulin. There may be some malabsorption going on. And I would watch that. There may be some dysbiosis. There may be some hypochlorhydria. So a lot of the stuff I've been talking about with bitters is probably good for just about everybody to do. You know, in your situation, you want to optimize your digestion, right? And when you get the right amount of stomach acid produced, you're going to optimize your nutrient absorption and your digestion. So I would be looking at the bitters that I've been talking about. Okay. Calcium, copper. So your copper.
Yeah, that's really.
Yeah. Did you order that special? Is that included in a CMA?
I don't know. That was one of the things I had a list of things that Isabel said I should be testing. And so that was just on the list. So I just did it.
Ceruloplasmin and copper. I'd love to hear her rationale there.
I don't know.
Yeah, Isabel, go for it.
So I recommended that because copper on some research has been shown to promote the development of new blood vessel, which nourishes tumor growth. So I wanted
Yeah, so the copper itself is okay, but the ceruloplasmin is elevated. I'm not sure what, because usually I associate ceruloplasmin with plasmin with.
That's the storage form of copper.
It's a storage form, right? So the storage form is high. So there may be an overload and the body's just storing it.
Yeah, so I'll do some research on that. So I want to.
Kind of like the ferret and iron situation, right? Okay, all right, good. Thank you for being so thorough with that. Alkfos is a little low, so zinc, right? The zinc is super important for prostate health. So I would be, do you take zinc at all right now? Or
I do, and you know, I'm currently taking a 50 milligram supplement, and it's also in another So I've got another supplement that has it in. So,
okay. So it might be not the right form.
I might not have been taking it at the time I took the test, though. It's a more recent that I've added it.
What is it, like zinc picolinate, or what kind of zinc is it?
I have to look it up. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's a pill.
It's a pill. Yeah. So it could be any number of things. There's a number of different zincs that you could take. So I would look at that. I would look at, you know, trying like the zinc taste test and trying some liquid zinc to see if that shifts that. It's only marginally low, but given your situation, I would want you to have the best. And given the copper, the ceruloplasmin being high, the zinc being on the lowish side, that throws off that balance, and we want them to, they compete with each other.
Okay.
Okay. Liver enzymes are all good. Bilirubin good. Iron is good. I'm surprised that the lipid panel isn't in here. Everything else seems to be in here.
I just ordered the wrong test.
Iron. But he's got 2020 numbers from like May or something, right?
January.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll put those in my
put them in the tracker and we'll take a look at those. And Isabel's really good at labs, so she can help you with that. Iron is slightly high, you know, and iron is inflammatory. Are you taking any iron supplements?
Not really. I don't know why that is so high.
I mean, it's not terribly high. It's just higher than I'd like to see it because of the oxidative stress that it can cause.
Right.
Sometimes when the iron is higher and the ferritin is normal, it could be a melatonin issue. Do you have any sleep issues?
Yeah, terrible sleep issues. I don't sleep well. I probably get 6 hours maximum sleep. Yeah.
So I just talked with Lynn Rose about that, and she said she was going to try to get me a homeopathic melatonin, which he doesn't have yet. But you have another idea?
Well, I was going to say melatonin, is there's a lot of research with melatonin and cancer. So, you know, it's not going to hurt. But what you don't want to do when you take a hormone, you don't have the negative feedback on your own body's production. Right. So that's where I'm cautious. Like people say, oh, there's no danger to 15 milligrams of melatonin, except it might suppress your own melatonin production. And then if you stop it, you're not making it. Right. So I like to do just a little. So homeopathic is a good idea. Or I would usually recommend a liquid, and then you just do a little bit, right? You start with a drop, you start with another drop, you see, and you get that actual optimal, the minimum effective dose, right? You go, oh, now I'm sleeping better. And it's only 3 milligrams. I didn't have to go to 15, right? I know people who take like a half a milligram of melatonin and it knocks them out, right? Knocks them out for the night. So it's just finding your minimum effective dose.
Okay.
Okay. And there has been a lot of research with cancer and melatonin. So it could be helpful there.
So that's causing the iron to go up, did you say?
Not necessarily, but the iron, there's a mechanism where the iron gets converted to the form that's stored as ferritin. And that's a melatonin-dependent enzyme.
Okay.
And I've watched this. I had somebody who did this, and she also had tested her melatonin and found her melatonin was low and had started to take it. And we just watched her iron gradually go back into the normal range.
Okay.
Because it's able to be stored. You know, we don't know for sure if that's what's happening here, but that's one possibility.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
So I know you've been using the... is that Muse?
Yes.
So I just bought, I haven't received it, their latest one. They have something that helps with the sleep.
I saw that. I was kind of itching to get a new one, but mine isn't broken. So it's hard to justify it. But they have that, and they measure heart rate variability, and they do a whole lot of other stuff in there, right?
Yes.
That might be something to look at. And then the Brain Time. Have you tried Brain Time? Does he know about Brain Time? So go to drritamarie.com/braintime and you'll get a free month of Brain Time. And it's basically to rewire your brain waves. And you don't do it right at bed. You don't have to do it. You do it twice a day, once in the morning and once, you know, closer to bedtime. And it's only like 5 minutes each time. And it's playing these sounds that rewire the brain.
Okay.
And it helped. We had a couple of people in our practitioner training when we brought this guy in that developed it. He talked to the group and they went ahead and tried it. And within like 3 days, they were sleeping and they hadn't been sleeping in forever. Okay. Right. And sleep is super important for your healing.
Yes.
And then the Muse is what Isabel was talking about, is it's a headband and I wear mine every day. I do my 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever I can squeeze in of meditation. And that can be helpful too. But the new one has actually a special program on it that will supposedly help with sleep. So those are all kinds of things to try. Because okay. I think it's really important for your healing to get enough sleep, right? All right. So what are we saying with, are you on any thyroid medication?
No.
So what you have is a low TSH with normal T4, low T3. Usually when your TSH is low, you're going to have a higher levels of T4 and T3, right? So sometimes we have to look at the pituitary. Is the pituitary able to produce enough TSH in order to stimulate your thyroid? Now your thyroid T4 numbers are perfectly normal. Your T3 is a little on the low side. Selenium is involved in that reaction. So you can look at selenium. I know selenium is important. There've been a lot of cancer research. I know some cancer centers, on naturopathic kind of cancer centers, where they do IV of selenium, alternating days of selenium and vitamin C. So that's certainly a possibility.
Okay. Well, I just recently started taking selenium.
Okay. So Perfect.
That should help.
That should. But this is the part that I want to watch, you know, that your TSH is suppressed for some reason or another. Right. And sometimes, you know, what that means is if the pituitary is suppressed, well, it could be stress. It could be that you've got a lot of stress going on and that downregulates the TSH. It's, you know, it's spending so much time stimulating your adrenals that it doesn't do its other job. Other times, I mean, the most serious, which isn't all that serious because it's not malignant, but is an adenoma of the pituitary, where it's low in all of its hormones. So you basically can run a panel where you're running other growth hormone and ACTH and the other hormones that it produces to make sure that that's not the case. I mean, the definitive of that is to get an MRI of your brain and see if there's a growth on your pituitary. It's rare. It's not, you know, I'm not saying it to startle you or alarm you. I'm just saying that I want to look at that. We can't rule that out at this point, but it could be the stress levels. Have you done like a Dutch test?
I did a Dutch test, yes.
Yeah. Did it show some stuff in the adrenals?
You know, I didn't really know what it meant. It's, you know, we have it, but I have okay, no idea.
Well, bring it on to a call with Isabel. She knows how to read them.
Okay. I'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah. She can support you on that. All right. Free T3, T4. In fact, you got that as part of the, that's part of your package, is that Isabel will interpret that and sit down with you and explain it to you.
Sure.
That's part of your deal. We don't just give you tests and say, here, have fun with this. Like, that's not exactly helpful. And you don't have any antibody issues, so it's not like there's an autoimmune disease in the thyroid. Inflammatory, CRP is good. Homocysteine's high. So again, looking at B12 and folate and B6, those are the three that are involved there. Do you take any of those?
I have a B supplement that has everything in it. So it's a multivitamin.
Okay.
Getting a ton of B12. I don't know why my B12 is low.
But see, then again, it's either absorption or not the right kind, and it's not a liposomal.
Is it a sublingual or is it an oral? Just take it.
It's just an oral. It's just a tab. You know, it's a vitamin.
It's not worth it. Don't even bother. It's not worth taking B12 that way. Either take liposomal, topical, or sublingual. Even the patches work really well.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So switch that out.
Okay.
Okay. And your D needs to go up. I mean, it's 58. It shows in the low end of the optimal range, but given your situation, I would love to see it 75 to 80.
Yeah. It's actually remarkably higher than it used to be. I mean, it was a few years ago, it was like 19.
Ouch.
and then I started taking supplements. It got up to 29. So this is probably a result of using about 5,000 a day.
5,000 up it to 8. Up it to 8, it'll probably get it right into that 80 range pretty quickly.
Okay.
Okay.
And retest in like 2 months on 8.
Yeah, you can retest. I would retest in 2 months. I don't think 8 is going to jump, given the history he just told me, right? I don't think it's going to jump him up too much. So two months is fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Great.
There was one thing on low white blood cells.
You said it for 6 hours. Ha ha. There's one thing on low white blood cells.
Yes. That was on the low side. So.
All right. Let's see. I thought I was at the end. Sorry. I was just getting distracted because I'm like, why didn't the buzzer go off? Because I said it for 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, so the MCV is high and the homocysteine is high. So that suggests that B12 is red blood cells are good. Yeah, 3.7. Do you know if this has been low before?
I have no idea. I don't know if that's ever been tested, so couldn't say.
It could be related to the prostate cancer. It's very common for that to go low.
Okay.
In any kind of cancer. Neutrophils are a little on the high side, percentage-wise, right? So there may be some bacterial infection somewhere. It could be gut dysbiosis, but something bacterial usually raises that. Monocytes are a little on the high side. If it's chronic, which low white blood cells usually indicates there's something chronic that's going on. And given these numbers, I would say you might have a chronic, low grade bacterial. It could be H. pylori. Hmm. It could be something in your gut.
Yeah.
Bacteria. Okay.
Didn't that show up somewhere? H. pylori?
Yeah, I don't know. Where was that? So what should I be doing for that?
Well, it's a determination. So I would say doing a stool test would be a good thing. I mean, you want to have a pristine gut, right? To help fight this whole situation. So you need to get your gut to be as clean as possible. So I would get a stool test with H. pylori. I'm pretty sure that the GI effects from Genova has H. pylori. It's not as accurate as the old BioHealth one, but BioHealth went out of business. So that's disappointing. And I don't know who else does. I haven't really done much research since they went out of business to see who is the most effective, the most reliable H. pylori. Isabel, do you know?
I have done a few gut sumer. Nothing was found. So I'm not sure if there's a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that lab had such a good H. pylori test that, you know, whenever we suspected it, we saw it, and then these other tests would show up that they were negative. So, yeah. But the would you recommend him a gut zoomer versus a GIFX?
Gut zoomer, they're actually very similar.
They are. I haven't done the gut zoomer yet. So.
Yeah, gut zoomer, it's yeah, I looked at the GI effects and they have like estimate the risk of developing certain chronic illnesses depending on the bacterial
mm-hmm.
that's in the gut. So that section is similar. And then they test a lot of inflammatory and markers. So very similar, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just the gut zoomer is a little bit easier to read. Their layout is a little better.
Great.
Easier to understand.
That would be a good one then. We don't have those yet on our site. Do you, where do you order them from, Isabel?
I order them from Vibrant Wellness. So I have a
directly, right?
Yeah, directly.
Okay, so you could probably order one for him then.
Yeah, and we talked about doing the Doctor's Data 360.
Mm-hmm. They don't have H. pylori though.
Oh, they don't. That one doesn't. Okay.
I don't think they do unless the 360 does. I haven't ordered the 360 yet. It's relatively new.
So GutZoomer has H. pylori and GIFX. We've got to pick between one of those two.
Yeah.
It sounds like GutZoomer.
Yeah, I could put an order for you. And also you can do, well, this is an indirect, right? Indirect marker if you test for H. pylori antibody.
Yeah.
It doesn't show current infection, but we can kind
right.
of...
It's not as accurate as doing it right in the stool, but
what about GI maps? I've had that several times. I don't know if it's good or not.
I'm not a big fan, but I haven't, you know, there. I don't like the layout as much as the others.
Okay.
And I don't know if they have H. pylori. Do you know if they did H. pylori there, Jenny?
Well, I did. I had H. pylori, and I.
Oh, so they did. So that's another option too.
And I've got it again, actually, in the results of my test or whatever.
Okay.
So anyway.
So that's worth, you know, addressing again. Okay. All right. So yeah, so you've got options there. It's just a matter of looking at the test. You can look at the cost for the tests, but we have the doctor's data and the GIFX on our site. Isabel can order the other one for you. We have to get that. So I can order it for you, but I don't have it on the site. We just don't have it set up that way. We'd have to manually order it.